The Peabody Institute trains some of the world's most talented musicians, but the Baltimore, Maryland Conservatory also hosts a series of music appreciation courses for elder hostel guests. On a recent day, instructor Amy Parks offered insights into John Williams' theme music for Schindler's List, the award-winning film about the Holocaust.
His music does, of course, the subject justice and the film justice as well. It's very simple. It's almost all strings. You've got some harp, you've got a violin solo, and woodwinds on occasion. There's no brass, there's no percussion, there's no bombast, there's nothing overwhelming about the music. It would not be suitable for this picture.
The music of John Williams was one of three courses offered by the Peabody Elder Hostel that week, all related to Broadway and movie theme music. Robert Winston traveled from St. George, Utah to attend. This was his eighth Elder Hostel.
It's a good chance to see different parts of the country and the world, and at the same time have a useful time while you're here, learning and enlarging your understanding. This one was outstanding.
And instructor Amy Parks, who also coordinates the Peabody Elder Hostel, says the classes are a learning experience for her as well.
A lot of them have personal experiences that they can share with me that really supplement the things I know from a musician's perspective. Often they've met people I'm talking about, they know them personally, or they have personal experiences, they can remember things I'm discussing. For instance, important premieres of works, some of them attended. Sometimes they remember the opening of certain films, that sort of thing, and it can really be enlightening for me to hear what it was like from their perspective at the time.
Elder Hostel offers nearly 10,000 programs in more than 90 countries each year. People living anywhere in the world can enroll, although a knowledge of English is usually needed. Spokesperson Katie Goldfield says Elder Hostel joins with a wide range of groups, colleges, museums, symphony orchestras, and environmental organizations to sponsor the programs.
You could go to Japan and study Japanese culture going back to the late Edo period to modern times, or you might go to Central Europe and learn about Slavic cultures. You could stay right in the United States and study ecology. We also have programs where the participants will learn physical skills such as how to hike or how to ski, paddling a canoe, riding horses. The whole purpose of the program is to allow people who are over the age of 55 to continue to use their minds and to reach out and try new experiences, to learn about new cultures, to meet new people, and also to share their own passions and interests.
Elder Hostel began in 1975 after an educator and social activist named Marty Knowlton traveled extensively through Europe.
One of the things that impressed him the most was that in a lot of the communities in Northern Europe, they had institutions called folk schools where the elders of the community could actually teach traditional crafts and ways. He was also impressed by youth hostels, which allowed young people from all over the world, adults too, to travel inexpensively and get to meet new people and to have a safe place to stay.
Marty Knowlton and co-founder David Bianco eventually combined those two concepts to create Elder Hostel. Over the years, the basic idea has remained the same. Enrollment costs are affordable, and accommodations, often in college dormitories or local hotels, are comfortable but not luxurious. There have been innovations as well, however, including intergenerational programs for the elderly and their grandchildren. Elder Hostel has also begun offering service projects where people can teach English or help set up a small business in another country. Katie Goldfield says for some tireless learners, attending elder hostels becomes a way of life.
We have one gentleman who's been to nearly 400 programs, and he just goes from one program to the next, and he stops by his family home a few times a year for the holidays. One of his adult children lives in the house, and he stops by, and then he goes back out on the road to another elder hostel program.
Some people find a whole new career after attending an elder hostel. Retired government worker Peter Abrish writes a mystery series using elder hostel programs as settings. He did the research for his latest book, Painted Lady, while attending an elder hostel along the old Santa Fe Trail. But he says for all the deadly intrigue in his novels, elder hostels are actually very congenial places.
It's a place you can go and have almost instant friends. That's a lot different than when we were teenagers, and so we always had to worry about what everybody was thinking about us. So there's the camaraderie that's almost instant.
Katie Goldfield says the oldest Elder Hostel student to date was 105, and there are numerous students in their 90s, including one who keeps surprising himself.
Every time he goes on a program, he emails me and he says, "My wife Stella and I are probably going on our very last program now," and it never is. Then a few months later, I'll get another note from him. I think he believes that helps him to keep going.
Katie Goldfield says Elder Hostel is already looking ahead to the baby boomers, the huge numbers of people born after World War II. They're rapidly becoming eligible for Elder Hostel programs, and the organization is looking for ways to meet the needs of a generation known both for its size and its